Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. It's Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this is The Master Plan. I'm JT, a.k.a. The Master, here to talk to you about some fantasy football. Also here to talk to you about some Olympic goings on, and somebody else in the NFL is in trouble. And it's a hot, hot day today, and that's what this song is about. Let's listen to Billy Stewart and Summertime. Yes, sir. That was Billy Stewart, an old jam called Summertime. It's, you know how I roll. I'm an old school dude. And I like old school music when they really had voices and really put out music and could really sing. Not anything that was digitalized or enhanced. Only thing was enhanced was the natural voice. Anyway, like I said, this is the Master Plan. I am JT once again, and we're going to be talking about fantasy football for one. But before that, I want to talk about some news that have been going on for those that are waking up and just realizing what is going on. In the world of the NFL, let's talk about this. Chad Johnson, or if you want to call him Ocho Cinco, you can do that. Or you want to call him a jerk, you can also do that, because last night, Chad Johnson, newly wedded Chad Johnson, spent part of the night in jail due to the fact he got it in an argument with his wife, Evelyn Lozada, and, well, Evelyn Lozada Johnson, whatever you want to call her now, and he got so upset he headbutted her. Headbutting your wife? Come on, man. Come on. Believe me. Well, let me put it this way. He's allegedly headbutted his wife. I know from what I'm reading, his wife supposedly went to the hospital to take care of the lacerations that she sustained on her forehead. and he had to put up a bond, and I'm not exactly sure. Let me see if he's released or not. $2,500 bond set. This happened down in Florida. Quite naturally, he's in training camp, so this happened. Now, if you ever looked at his wife, Chad, why? Tell me, what kind of sense does that make? What kind of sense does that make for what you've done? You know what? You know, I'm really not a Miami Dolphins fan, but I was a Chad Ochocinco fan, or Chad Johnson fan, up until the point this. Quite naturally, because there's somebody in the chat room, the Joker, who's normally in the Army and FSP cruise show, he says one of the few positives about Chad the past couple of years is that he stayed off the police blotter. Now he can't even say that. So he just got married not long ago. I guess the honeymoon is over, because it's unbelievable that you would come to the point that you would headbutt your wife. Come on, man. Come on. You know, he has a short leash. If anybody ever watched the first episode of Hard Knocks, when Chad had his press conference, which they televised in Hard Knocks, he said a few four-letter words that didn't take too well to the head coach. And in the episode of Hard Knocks, the coach pretty much chastised him and told him that his leash was short, that, you know, he's not going to stand for the pre New England Patriot Chad when he was with the Cincinnati Bengals. So, and Chad thought he had a free reign and was was out of lockup or whatever, per se, after he left New England, that he could do what he wanted to do like he used to do it when he was with the Cincinnati Bengals. I guess what, Chad? It ain't going to happen, because your head coach is not going to stand for it. So I don't know if this is going to really jeopardize his stay on the team, but it doesn't help. He's walking a fine line here, people. He's definitely walking a fine line. For those who don't know, Chad Johnson may not be too long for the Miami Dolphins, and that may be the last stop for Chad Johnson. After that, who's going to want to touch him? Especially this. One of the things that Chad had going for him, like Joker had said before, and I'm going to say it again, was he was a fun-loving type of guy. He never got into any kind of legal problems. It was all team-related, fun-loving things. Never a disruptive force. Always on the upside, glasses half full type of guy. This is definitely a negative. And at this point in his career, he doesn't need that negative. So I hope this gets straightened out. It doesn't look good from the beginning, but we'll have to just sit back and wait and see how it pans out. Hopefully it pans out for the best for both parties. I'm talking about Chad Johnson and his wife. Anyway, like I said, I wanted to talk about a little NFL news before I started delving into the quarterbacks. I also wanted to congratulate David Bodea, who won the 10-meter platform diving contest late. I was up early in the wee hours of the morning watching this hotly contested contest between the United States' David Bodea and a diver from China, who was the favorite, and a diver from Great Britain. came down to the each of them last dive. Whoever dove the best in their last dive was going to win the gold. The Great Britain went first, then the American went next, and then the Chinaman went last, and David Bhatia, believe it or not, people, he won the gold medal the first time the United States has won a gold medal in platform diving since Greg Louganis won it in 1988 and 1984. Congratulations, David Bhatia. I saw the emotion of all three divers, some good, some bad, but it was, to say the least, if you're a competitive type of person or like watching competition, you watched this last in the wee hours of the morning, and it was pretty competitive and pretty intense. Also, I wanted to congratulate the U.S. women who dominate the gold. They did it in the 4x100, and then they also repeated it in the 4x4100 relay. Sonya Richards-Ross, Allison Felix, let me see if I can get the other two names. I can't believe I don't have the other two names. I thought I had them right in front of me. Well, anyway, congratulate the four women who won the 4x4100 in just 2 seconds off the well, let me put it this way. It was a stunning. If you had to watch it, if you saw it, you would be absolutely amazed. They won it going away with one of the most more perfect relay races that you could watch, because they were in sync from the beginning to the end, and the final leg was absolutely dominant. Wasn't even close. Anyway, I wanted to get those three items out of the way because I saw a couple of them in the wee hours of yesterday morning, and then I heard about Chad late Saturday into Sunday, Saturday night into Sunday morning, and I wanted to get those out of the way. Anyway, what I really wanted to talk about, and we're going to be here for a while, people, so sit down, relax, and pay attention. And like I said, the number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220. If you have a question of any type, a comment or anything that that you wanted to relay to me, feel free to in the chat room or in the calling me up and talking to me. I'll be glad to address it as best I can. But without further ado,
the vacation, and if you do that, it's really unfair. It's really unfair. It's my team. It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team.
That's right, people. We're talking about that's my quarterback. I talked about running backs. I talked about wide receivers. I talked about tight ends. To close out the fantasy football skill positions, I'm going to be talking about quarterbacks. Some surprises, maybe, all according to your point of view and what you feel is should be or where the quarterback should be rated. I think I'm going to maybe I'm going to surprise some people right at the onset, I should say. Let me put it this way. In two of his previous three full years, he was the number one fantasy quarterback. He'll finish with the number one fantasy quarterback. He's a picture of consistency and played an offense that has ranked top five in pass attempts three times over the past five seasons while throwing in the scoring position as often as anyone solidifies his annual fantasy appeal. Because of his lack of vertical presence that became evident in the Super Bowl with Gronk playing on one leg and Hernandez and Welker only able to convert the short to intermediate range, New England reunited Brandon Lloyd with offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, and quite naturally, those who know what Josh McDaniels and Brandon Lloyd did, it rejuvenated Lloyd's career in Denver and in St. Louis. Lloyd is a premier playmaker with remarkable body control and consistent separation skills, averaging 15.4 yards per catch. Now he also have Dante Stallworth returning to Foxborough as a depth behind Floyd, and Jabari Gaffney is a trusted possession target. Quite naturally, I'm talking about Tom Brady is already a lock, or a virtual lock, for 35-plus touchdowns, and his yards per attempt could spike with more downfield threats. He's ranked number one in my book, I should say that, because the top six or seven fantasy quarterbacks are interchangeable. I think Brady could easily be this year's number one, in my opinion. He wants to keep playing for a long time. He turned 35 on this past Friday. I think a week or two ago, to be exact. And he showed no signs of slowing down. He previously stated he wanted to play past 40, and his current contract runs until 2014. Over the past three seasons, Tom Brady has averaged 4,500 passing yards and a little more than 34.3 touchdowns. So, in my opinion, and now that's just my opinion, people got to dispute it, Tom Brady this year is going to be the number one fantasy quarterback. You probably think that, well, wait a minute, he's talking Tom Brady? What about Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers was crazy. That's true. This is my list. This is how I think. This is because when Tom Brady had his record year, who was the offensive coordinator? Think about that. Now he's got more weapons than he had when he had that record-breaking touchdown year. Now he's got Brandon Lloyd, who loves Josh McDaniels, who thrives very well in Josh McDaniels, along with Wes Welker, Ron Bukowski, and Aaron Hernandez. I know my number two quarterback has a lot of weapons, but in my opinion, Tom Brady is going to be the number one quarterback this year. Okay. Let's move on. Okay. We're going to go and talk about the number two quarterback. He established himself as the best quarterback in football with top five finishes in passing yards, completion rate, 40-plus yards completions, touchdown throws, while leading the NFL in yards per attempt quarterback rating, and TD rate, which is touchdowns per attempts. He also ranked 29th in interceptions, and he tacked on nearly 50 points with his rushing stats that separated him from the likes of Breeze and Brady. Okay? I understand that. They encourage him to run when necessary. The Packers encourage him to run when necessary. And he's now been a top three fantasy quarterback in four straight years with two number one finishes in the last three. His supporting cast is already elite, and his young O-line will only get better. Now, though the 9.0 touchdown rate and 48 all-purpose touchdowns seem unrepeatable for the MVP. Rodgers has factors working in favor. Explosive slot man Randall Cobb, because of Donald Driver slowing down, his Cobb's snaps will increase. Jermichael Finley, who had the drop syndrome last year, he's bound to be better this year after leading the league in drops last year. The Packers signed Jeff Saturday to solidify the center because the Scott Wells left. The left tackle Chad Clifton was cut, and the Pack will count on Marshall Newhouse, who's 24. So we'll see what see what happens with him, but he's only missed a couple of games, like one game because of a concussion. One game in the last four seasons as a starter, and he never appeared on the injury report on 2011. He's reliable with deadly accuracy. He's aggressive, like all get out, and at times maybe some people underrate his athleticism. In my opinion, Aaron Rodgers is the fantasy football number two quarterback pick. And I know a lot of people are going to think that, well, you know what? I should pick this guy up in the first round. I know it's a quarterback-driven league, people. I'm not a proponent of picking quarterbacks up in the first round. I never have been a proponent. I've never drafted a quarterback. Of all the drafts I've been in, I usually get in about close to 8 to 10 drafts a year, or 8 to 10 leagues a year. And I've never drafted a quarterback. I can honestly say that I've never drafted a quarterback in the first round. I don't believe in it. I've never believed in it. Call me old school or whatever. I've always taken a running back in the first round. I just feel that way. I just feel that the running back, in my opinion, is your foundation. And especially this year, running backs are at a premium compared to the other skill positions, quarterback, wide receiver, and tight end. Running backs drop off of skill, drops off dramatically compared to the other positions, from top to bottom, or top to middle, top to the next tier, let me put it that way. First tier, second tier, the drop-off is more dramatic in running backs than it is in any other the other positions in fantasy football. So you got 32 teams. Quite naturally, some of those quarterbacks aren't worthy of a starter, but a lot of them are. And if you're in a 12-team league, there are definitely 12 startable quarterbacks in fantasy football. So anyway, let's move on to the number three. Let me see. Let's move this way. He's probably the most naturally accurate passer in football. And and for the last three seasons, he's had the best completion rate of any quarterback. He's definitely benefiting from the New Orleans pass-first attack. You know I'm talking about Drew Brees, who posted 2011 league highs in yards completion and TDs thrown. You know the stats. 5,476 passing yards, which broke Dan Marino's thought unbreakable record, and Brees 70 point 71.2 completion percentage, busted his own record for an NFL season, single season mark, which was 70.6. He had 46 touchdown passes and came within four of Tom Brady's record. Quite naturally, I'm saying Tom Brady. I'm thinking Tom Brady. I'm telling you, I really believe Tom Brady is going to try to challenge that record. Reunited with Josh McDaniels and with more weapons than he had the year he established that record. I think it's going to happen. Anyway, he has a new unguardable number one receiver in the Jimmy Graham. Everybody knows that. Who last year paced the Saints in target catches, yards, and touchdowns. He's got a explosive and sure-handed passing down specialist and Darren Sproles, which proved to be definitely a difference maker. The only thing that one of the things they did, they let Robert Meacham walk in free agency, but they re-signed Marcus Colson. Bad thing about it that everybody knows that Sean Payton was suspended for a year in his role in the bounty scandal cover-up, along with Joe Vitt, who will serve as the interim coach, but he'll be suspended for six games. Pete Carmichael is going to be calling the offensive plays. He started calling the plays last year, midway through the season last year, because of what happened to Sean Payton he got injured. And the thing about it, the New England offense averaged 36 more total yards and over 7 more points per game than it did when Sean Payton called the plays. So a lot of people think that they're going to miss a beat. They may miss their coach. But on offense, with the continuity of Pete Carmichael calling the offensive plays, I don't think they're going to miss a beat with that. Quite naturally, Drew Brees at one point, they didn't know if he was going to get signed because of the fact he had a contract negotiations. But that got straightened out. Jonathan Vilma is not on the defense, but I think Drew Brees, since signing Brees in 2006, the Saints have ranked in the top five in pass attempts in five of six seasons. They finished number two in each of the past 2 years. The offensive coordinator, Pete Carmichael, won't stop slinging it, and Brees is a safe early-round fantasy pick because of the offensive philosophy. Now, like I said, I'm not a proponent, so most of the time I don't get these top three quarterbacks because I wait. I wait and load up on other skill positions and then get a serviceable quarterback in the later rounds, depending on the how the draft is going. I can almost guarantee you that at least the first five or six quarterbacks are going to go in the first two, three rounds. I usually wait to the fourth, to the fifth or sixth round to pick up my quarterback. And from what I'm seeing, I probably can pick up a serviceable quarterback. My philosophy is that whatever the quarterback deficiency, because I don't have an elite quarterback, my other skill positions can pick up the slack. My running backs, because they're going to be elite running backs. My wide receivers, because they're going to be of higher caliber than most people because of I picked them up early, so I'm getting supposedly when you pick up draft picks, skill positions early, other than the quarterback, you're those players are going to be better than someone who picks a quarterback early and then has to scramble in the next few rounds to get a decent wide receiver or a running back. So think about that. Let those people, let those people pick those quarterbacks in the first round, okay? That leaves other skill positions further down the line. So if you have three or four people that decide to pick the first three guys, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees, and maybe my next quarterback in the first round or very early in the second round, that leaves you other skill positions like the running back, because now they got to scramble to get a running back if that's the direction they're going to go. Some people pick a wide receiver next, which is a mistake because, like I said, out of all the skill positions, the one skill position that has the bigger drop-off from the first tier to the second tier, excuse me, or even to the second tier to the third tier, is the running backs. There's a lot of skilled, very good wide receivers out there. There's a lot of maybe not the absolute elite quarterbacks, but there's some very good quarterbacks still out there that you don't have to take it in the first round. And there's a lot of tight ends around that if you don't get Jimmy Graham or you don't get Ron Gronkowski or whoever you deem as the third, fourth, a tight end, or Antonio Gates, you can still get some very good tight ends around there because there's a lot of them out there now because a lot of teams are relying on the tight end also. So trust me when I say this. I know it's a quarterback-driven league, but you don't have to get a quarterback in the first round. But there's always going to be somebody that's going to jump out there saying, I want Tom Brady, I want Aaron Rodgers, I want Drew Brees. And that's fine. That's fine. Don't get disappointed. Don't panic. Stick to your plan and adjust. Your draft has always got to be flexible because you never know what's going to happen. A player that you may target may not be there when you want it, so you have to have an alternate plan. Excuse me. Let's move on. Okay. The number four quarterback, in my opinion, last year, because of his injury, his average draft position was late in the seventh round, if somebody took him, translated to an awfully nice value when he finished as the number four fantasy quarterback behind only Rodgers, Brees, and Brady. Matthew Stafford, you know, has a rocket arm, and it's a lethal combo when you add the NFL's best receiver in the NFL's pass-happiest offense. Now, I don't know if this is lucky or not, but the Lions had 666 pass attempts, were only the most in the league. They lined up in shotgun more than anyone else. They lined up in the shotgun 68% of the time, and used the second most three wide sets in football. He's surrounded by elite weapons. He's got Calvin Johnson. He's got Titus Young, Nate Burleson, and his tight end who escapes me at the present moment, but his tight end along with Tony Scheffler and his other tight end escapes me. Brandon Pettigrew, I'm sorry. He's got a lot of weapons. His first year he was healthy. Whoever drafted him, in fact, I had Matthew Stafford last year on one of my teams, and it took me to help take me to the championship of one of my teams and won me some nice money because it was a pay league. So trust me, Matthew Stafford. He could move up. He's number four in my book right now, behind the three I talked about already: Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees. But Matthew Stafford still has not reached his potential yet, or his ceiling yet. They re-signed their left tackle Jeff Backus, and they also picked up on the 23rd pick that they had Iowa's Riley Reiff as insurance. Quite naturally, you know, there's a clear emphasis on keeping Matthew Stafford upright. Their second round slot receiver is recovering from an ACL surgery, but projects as a difference maker soon. They locked up Calvin Johnson with an 8-year contract over $150 million, making him the league's highest player. Matthew Stafford only turned 24 in February, and his long-term ceiling is scary. Like I said, he's got a ton of upside. And you know he's a first-tier quarterback. I don't know if he's going to have 40-plus touchdowns like he had this past season. He doesn't run, so all his work is through the air. You may want to wait on him. I don't know, you know, if quarterbacks start flying off the board early in the first round. That may happen with Matthew Stafford also, because of the glitz and glamour of what happened and the hype that he had happened last year, that he start taking Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees in the first round. You can best believe that there's somebody out there in your draft that's going to grab Matthew Stafford so they can get one of the, in quotation marks, elite quarterbacks. Keep your head, people. There's plenty out there. There's plenty out there. This next guy, in my opinion, will probably be there, be in the fourth to fifth round. Prime target for someone that may want to take him. He's annually undervalued, perhaps due to undeserved negative media. He was ranked 7 among fantasy quarterbacks in the year that saw him contend with nagging injuries to Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, who had a 6-game bump hammy, and Romo owned cracked ribs. I'm talking about Tony Romo, and punctured lung. He got hurt in week 3, but showed toughness en route to 16 starts. He's athletic, highly accurate, aggressive passer surrounded by 2 elite wideouts and one of the NFC's finest all-around tight ends. He's been a top 7 fantasy quarterback in each of his 3 full seasons. The thing that's changing this is that Romo's healthy, Dez and Dez Bryant and Miles Austin are, I know that they're a little dinged up now, but they're returned for the most part healthy. Austin, supposedly his condition wasn't up to snuff, and he admitted it last year, saying that the lockout may have contributed to him having recurring leg muscle woes because of not being in off-season training camps and then in training camp itself, off-season training OTAs or mini camp or whatever. But supposedly he's back on track now. The only thing about it, they lost their most productive third receiver, Laurent Robinson. But hopefully Bryant should be capable of replacing his red zone production. The offensive line is built to throw the football. They may have the best tackle pairing in the NFL. If Rodgers, Breeze, and some other quarterbacks, Newton, Brady, Stafford, and Vic form Tier 1, Romo leads off a very impressive second group. He's rock solid, fifth round fantasy pick, and a value after that. That's what I said. I'm thinking that late fourth, fifth round somewhere in there. That's where you're going to be able to get Tony Romo, and I think he's an absolutely dynamite pick from there. Trust me when I say that. I think he's a good value pick for that. Okay, I consider him the number five on my list. I consider him fifth on my list. I know a lot of people saying, "Well, where's some other quarterbacks?" Well, I'm getting to them. This is my list, and that's how I see him. So this is what I'm saying. I consider him the number five. So if you can get him in later rounds, that's value. Because in my book, that's value. Because even though I ranked him number five, all these other quarterbacks are going to go in the first, early second round. Tony Romo more than likely is going to go in the late four, fifth round. And even I rate him number five. If you can get him in those later rounds, late fourth, early five, or whatever, then that's a value pick. You got a top five quarterback in the fourth to fifth round. So that you understand, Sam? I'm trying to get you to understand that even though I have him fifth, I'm telling you that the average draft position of this guy is going to probably be in the late fourth or fifth round. Meaning if you pick him up, you're going to get top five production out of somebody that you got in the fourth or fifth round, which is good value. Let's move on to my number six fantasy quarterback. Okay? Quite naturally, everybody knows you had three off-season neck surgeries, two of which were publicly revealed until after the fact. Weren't publicly revealed until after the fact. So confident in Manning's recovery were the Colts that they signed into a five-year, $90 million contract just after the lockout was lifted. Manning simply healed slowly, and he never made it into a regular season game despite some feelings that he could have played late in the year. As it turned out, Manning ultimately had four separate surgeries in a time period between March 2nd, 2010, and September 9th, 2011. Quite naturally, everybody knows the cold season went in the tank as Indianapolis finished 27th in passing offense and 26th in rushing to win the Suck for Luck race. Convinced Manning would at some point need a fifth jersey, Colt doctors recommended he be released. Okay. Owner Irsay cut the cord on March 7th, and a free agent frenzy ensued. Quite naturally, the Broncos beat out a lengthy list of suitors on March 20th. He signed for $96 million with the Broncos. And essentially a year-to-year commitment pending good health. They overhauled the offense. Quite naturally, Tim Tebow went to my ex-team, and the offensive philosophy had a read option type of thing. Now they have a Peyton-friendly pass at first to attack. Manning will play with the most physical receivers of his career in Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. A top six quarterback in each of his last 12 seasons. He ranks relatively low here, right? Number six. And there is a lingering injury risk and he's unlikely to put up the pass attempt totals the Colts used to. Manning does offer a high fantasy ceiling, though. I have him 6, but he's a potential boom or bust pick. I have him 6th. I have him ranked 6th. I think this is another value pick here for the simple reason I have him 6th, but he probably won't go in a 12-team fantasy football league. He'll probably go in somewhere in the 5th round. But I think that Mr. Manning will be will not be a disappointment if he's grabbed in the 5th round. That means you have players, at least 2 running backs and 2 wide receivers, or any combination of 2 running backs, wide receiver, and a tight end, or whatever. That if he doesn't produce Manning-like numbers, Manning-like numbers, okay, you know, big man number, like the top 2 or 3 type of numbers of quarterbacks, but gives you good numbers as a serviceable quarterback, picking him in the 5th round won't hurt you as much because you didn't spend that high draft pick. It's only the 5th round. You didn't spend that real high draft pick on your quarterback that you would depend on for big points week in and week out. So it would be a good pick if you got him in the 5th round. Let's move on to this guy. And this guy, I think, is undervalued, in my opinion. I'm going to put him 7, but I think you're going to be surprised of the production of this guy. I think he's finally going, I wouldn't say breakout, but I think this guy is definitely undervalued. The front office of this guy's team envisioned a pass-happy, no-huddle, and shotgun-heavy offense, which Mike Smith at the time had none of it. Despite increasingly sluggish production from Michael Turner, who finished top 2 in the league in carries for the 3rd time in 4 seasons, Matt Ryan struggled to find a rhythm as the Falcons shuttled in and out of the no-huddle behind one of the NFL's poorest pass-blocking lines. Ryan was much better in the second half, though. In the final regular season games, he completed 193 of 314 passes, which is 61.5%, for 2,494 yards, which is 7.9 yards per attempt, 20 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. He ranked 8th among fantasy quarterbacks for a 2nd straight year. What changed this year is a new play caller. Dirk Koehler, or Cotter, I should say, instilled a consistent offensive identity. Koehler is a believer in vertical passing and the no-huddle, and those ideas play to the strengths of Ryan, Julio Jones, and Roddy White. While Turner returns, the Falcons have said openly that they will decrease his workload. And they've been saying this over and over again, that Michael Turner's workload is going to get decreased, and it's probably going to be more of a running back by committee. And Ryan added upper body strength in the spring, attempting to improve his velocity and downfield arm power. In terms of arm strength and athleticism, Matt Ryan is only an above-average talent. He has a big-time supporting cast, however, and could take off in year 5 if things break right. With more upside than seemingly meets the eye, Ryan is a fantasy value pick at his mid-7th round is where he's usually taken, from what I'm seeing in an average draft pick, which is mid-7th round. I'm saying he's probably mid-5th round, somewhere around there. Anything past the 5th round, 6th round, you are getting a good pick. I think, Matt, if you watch the game that I know it's a preseason game, but it's a, some of this stuff is a precursor of what may happen during the regular season. If you watch the preseason game, Roddy White and Julio Jones may be one of the best wide receiver duos in the NFL. Julio Jones may have a breakout year this year, and Matt Ryan will be slinging the ball to Julio Jones. I had Julio Jones ranked number two. When I did my rankings, I had Julio Jones ranked number two. And if the first preseason game is any indication of what's to come, Julio Jones is going to have a huge year this year, and will be that number two ranking that I gave you will be validated because he was a beast on the preseason game. And like I said, it's preseason. I'm not getting too blown up, but I'm just saying some of this stuff is a precursor of what may happen, what can happen. So just keep that in mind. Let's move on to the number eight. This eighth-rate quarterback entered the season with just one top eight fantasy quarterback finish in seven NFL seasons, but surged to number six with career-high attempts, completion passing yards, and yards per attempt. With Mr. Samba, Victor Cruz emerging as the NFL's most dangerous vertical slot weapon, Eli Manning was a monster from week three on. Including the playoffs, he completed 428 of 690 passes, 62% for 5,661 yards, and that's including the playoffs. And that's an 8.2 yard per attempt with 36 touchdowns, 15 interceptions in his final eight games, topping 290 yards 12 times. You know Eli Manning, just like his brother. Okay, let's bring in this one guest we have calling in here. It happened to be Sleeping Beauty. He finally woke up from his slumber. Good morning there, Mr. Gardner.
Hey, dude. I was tired.
You were tired. You had to be.
My body finally said, Vic, enough's enough. Get some sleep.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can believe it. I can believe it, man. I mean, you know, you're not getting any younger, my man.
I know, but I'm still sexy as ever.
Oh, boy. Yes, I'm you're right, Jeff. Excuse me for a minute. Yes, you're right, Jeff. He's not Mr. Rumba. Did I say Rumba? Mr. Salsa. You're absolutely right. Wrong dance. You understand my point, Jeff. Jeff's listening to
Jeff's
the chat room.
In the chat room.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Jeff, there's a good laptop out there that I've got. It's kind of big. Dell and Experion, and I got a bunch of crap on it. So that's what I suggest you go get. I know he's looking to get one, so
well,
I thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, I answered him on Facebook, and that's the direction I pointed into with Dell and Experion. In fact, that's what I'm. That's what I have.
Okay.
On laptop. So.
So you're on quarterback number six.
No, I'm on quarterback number eight. I'm just happen to be talking about Mr. Eli Manning right now. The first seven, and I'll put them in order because I know you may have a problem with even my first pick, but this is how I see it. Number one through number seven, I'll say them in order. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Matthew Stafford, Tony Romo, Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, and now we're at Eli Manning.
I do have a problem with that.
I know you do. That's why I wanted to run them down to you real quick, and so you can explain why you think I'm totally off base and don't know the hell I'm talking about. Talk to me.
Well, I won't say you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You're just misguided, misled. I'm not sure who you're getting information from, but Now, for this year, I know Aaron Rodgers is the sexy pick for number one, but there's a reason for that, because the guy has great mobility as well as he's a very, very good decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have him number... Huh?
Go ahead.
So I'll put him number one, and then
okay.
followed by Drew Brees. I would only put Brady in my top three because he's consistent. Yes, he doesn't have the best set of talent around him at receiver, but he has good talent, and he knows how to use his tight ends. Your number four, Matthew Stafford. I understand you have him there. I really think that's a terrible mistake, mainly because without Calvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford is nothing. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Without him, he's nothing. And with Calvin being on the cover of Madden, I don't want to jinx the guy, but just like a lot of people had Matthews, the kid out of San Diego, as a top four, top five running back this year, I think that maybe the injury bug or something's going to jump on Matthew Stafford, and he's not going to perform as good as a lot of people think.
Okay.
I'm surprised they don't have Matt Schaub in there.
No.
Somewhere. I'm surprised that you don't have Phillip, even though he has really nothing to work with. I'm surprised you don't have Phillip Rivers, that is.
Mm-hmm. I know you're talking about.
Well, some people might not have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised you didn't put Michael Vick in there at all. There's a couple QBs in there that should be in there. Give me one second. I got to answer it, though.
Okay. Anyway, the reason I'm trying to explain my reasoning here is I have these guys ranked in a certain order, how I see it, how I think these guys should be ranked, in my opinion. Not to say that they'll get picked wherever they get picked. Some of these guys are going to get picked in the fifth and sixth round. So what I'm saying is this. If I think Matthew Stafford or Eli Manning or Matt Ryan are the fourth, the seventh, and eighth picks in my list, that doesn't mean that they won't get picked in whatever round I think they may get picked. Like, I think Matt Ryan will probably get picked in the fifth round, maybe even later. Well, in my opinion, that's a great value. If you can pick up Matt Ryan, in my opinion, if he's ranked seventh on my list and you pick up Matt Ryan in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round, that's great value pick. You're getting a top top 10 quarterback the middle rounds of a 16 player draft. That's a great pick. So even though I got him ranked maybe high within the top 10, doesn't mean that's where I think they're going to get picked. Like they're going to get the pick. They're going to be the seventh quarterback picked. I think that this is how I rank them. That's not necessarily where they're going to get picked. You follow me? Like this?
I follow you.
Yeah, okay.
I follow
so,
you. But that's what I was saying. That even though those guys, I mean, to have them ranked that high is kind of difficult for me to believe. But
mm-hmm.
I would have Ben Roethlisberger up there. I would definitely have him before Matt Ryan. I would have.
No way.
Like I said, Michael Vick.
No way. You know why it wouldn't have him before Matt Ryan? Because they're going to go to those two wide receivers. I have I have Julio Jones ranked number two. When we do wide receivers, I had Julio Jones ranked number two because I think Julio Jones, and if anything of his preseason game is a precursor of what he's going to do, he's going to explode this year. And I think Julio Jones is going to Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Roddy White are going to be very explosive this year, especially when they're going to be using no huddle more and more. I really believe that. And they're not going to be – they're going to use Michael Turner, but it's not as much as Michael Turner the head coach wants them. They're not going to be running the ball like that, because the offensive coordinator that they hired is a vertical type of has a vertical type of passing attack. He doesn't have he's not a run and then pass when you have to. He's aggressive and he wants to get the ball down the field, and he has the weapons in the two wide receivers and the tight end. And Matt Ryan, I think, is going to benefit from all that.
No, I agree with you. But I think that Todd Haley has a very similar offensive game plan with Pittsburgh, and Ben has been a very, very good quarterback. He's a late-round pick for a lot of people, along with Matt Schaub, late-round picks that can turn out to be lifesavers for some. They're probably not going to put the same numbers as Rodgers or Brady or something like that, but they'll come very close. Let's be honest. After your top three quarterbacks, it's a sharp fall-off. It's not that big of a change.
Right.
You know, it's not that big of a change.
My question is this. Out of the two wide receivers, the two quarterbacks we were talking about right here, Matt Ryan and Ben Roethlisberger, out of the wide receiver core on both of his teams, who would you rather have? I know who I would rather have. You tell me who you would rather have.
Oh, you mean as far as receivers or quarterbacks?
Yes. Receivers.
I mean, I would love to have Julio Jones and Roddy White as my one and two, as opposed to a possible Wallace and a Brown or Saunders.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but I also know that Ben Roethlisberger and Matt Ryan are not that far apart when it comes to yardage and passes, pass attempts. So if you put Ben Roethlisberger on Atlanta, he would destroy most of the competition. If you put Matt Ryan on Pittsburgh, it would be a totally different story, because he doesn't have the same big body going up for the ball set of receivers. Mike Wallace is that guy, but Brown and Saunders are small speedsters. So,
right.
You know, I look at it like that. Can I take this guy off of this team, put him on a different team, and make him just as good? And the answer is no. Matt Ryan is a very, very great and capable quarterback. I just don't believe that he's better than Ben Roethlisberger fantasy-wise. Maybe not better than Ben Roethlisberger in real life either. And again, Matthew Stafford at your number four, yeah, he throws a lot. Yeah, he has Megatron, Pettigrew, Pettis, and all that, but I'm not sold on his bill of goods yet. I'm mentioning Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers, he did it with very little help. You know, Vincent Jackson never really eclipsed 1,000 yards. I think his best season was like 1,100 yards and maybe 6-7 touchdowns. But Philip Rivers is still a very good quarterback. I would even say Peyton Manning at this current stage, is about the same as your Matthew Stafford.
Well,
but
I have Peyton Manning ranked sixth here, so that's what I'm thinking. Anyway, let me move on here. We'll go to the number ninth pick in my rankings. I think he's undervalued. Let me see now. He enjoyed his first full season as an Eagle starter. His wide receiver finally got the contract he wanted, and his other wide receiver, Macklin, tore up OTAs after dealing with a crazy illness that caused him to lose weight and strength last summer. Despite his left tackle Jason Peters' double Achilles tears, the Eagles returned one of the league's best offensive lines. I know they said that they were the dream team, but they failed in their hype value. But Michael Vick is a difference maker. He averages the sixth most fantasy points per game among quarterbacks. I know he got dinged up, but he's finally healthy. And he was only outscored by Breeze, Stafford, and Brady in the final 3 weeks. So despite all the things that happened to Michael Vick last year, all the things that happened to the Eagles last year, I still see Michael Vick, my number nine quarterback, which I see going in the third round, maybe early fourth round. We're early fourth round. But he's my number nine pick, and I think he is undervalued. I think he's going to be one of the top five quarterbacks this year. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's how I feel about that. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, Jerry. Can you hear me?
Oh, did you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you. I said that if you feel as though he's going to be a top five quarterback, why is he ranked in your top nine? That doesn't make sense. But
it makes sense. I have him ranked nine over these quarterbacks. Okay, with potential, he's ranked nine now. Okay, but these other quarterbacks, I think they're going to be above him. There's always an injury bug that hits Michael Vick, and that's why I put him down there. He's got the potential to be a top five. Let me put it that way: potential to be a top five, but because he doesn't complete a full season, he's got to take a hit for that. And I move him down to nine. So that's why.
Well, let me ask.
Hello? You're breaking up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, I hear you now.
Where do you have Cam Newton?
Bless you.
Sorry.
Bless you. I have Cam Newton number 10.
Okay.
Because I think he's going to regress. I don't think he's going to do the same things he did last year.
Okay, so let me get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm saying Brady,
mm-hmm.
Rodgers, Breeze,
mm-hmm.
Stafford,
mm-hmm.
Didn't stay
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Romo.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your number six?
Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm. Number seven was
Matt Ryan.
Number eight was Eli.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine is Mike. Number ten
mm-hmm.
is Cam.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There are flaws. None of us are perfect like me, but it's okay. So, okay. Tell me why. And again, I'm going to jump on this because I really think you're wrong on it. Why do you have Matthew Stafford above Romo, above... well, I understand Newton, but above Peyton, above Vic. I mean, you haven't even mentioned Roethlisberger. I really don't get it.
Well, you seem to have a thing about Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford was one of the had the most of pass attempts of anybody, any quarterback for one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're in a offense that is a pass first offense. His upside is huge because he's only 24, and from the young weapons he has, they're only going to get better along with Matthew Stafford. I think. Because of the fact is of the offense that they run, I can't see him. I gotta see him up there. I mean, there's no way that I can't see him number four. He's got to be right behind those top three: Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze. I don't know. I don't know how much more to how I can explain it. He's not going to be. I don't think he's going to be below Tony Romo. I don't think he's going to be below Peyton Manning. I definitely don't think he's going to be below Matt Ryan or Eli Manning. He threw for almost 5,000 yards last year. He threw for almost 5,000 yards last year. The exact stat. Let me see if I got it real quick for you. He threw for. What is it now? I don't have it in front of me. I thought I did. But he threw for over 4,000 yards, almost 5,000 yards last year. With the best wide receiver in football by far, and a passing attack that had very good weapons in the tight ends. And the other wide receivers. So, and working in a dome, I can't see this guy any worse than four. Tony Romo, he's always up there in the top seven. Peyton Manning's coming back from an injury, but he's still Peyton Manning. Until he proves it, I'm going to put him in the top ten, but he could easily be a boom or bust because of what happened to him. Matt Ryan, I see him progressing because of the type of offense they're going to be running, the more pass attempts, and the wide receivers that they have. Julio Jones is coming into his own. Roddy White, you know his deal. Michael Vick, he has a tendency to at times get hurt, get nicked up, along with his two wide receivers, DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin. They're not the most durable and big wide receivers. And Cam Newton, which I got number 10, second-year quarterback, he came out like a barnstormer, but I understand he's got Steve Smith, but he's a second-year quarterback. Most second-year quarterbacks regress a little bit. So I'm thinking he's not going to be – he may get picked in the first round. He may get picked high in the second round, but
– not taking high.
Hey, are you kidding me? Trust me, this is a lot. This, if you've done any mock drafts, you'd be surprised how high Cam Newton goes. I can't see Cam Newton any higher than number 10. I got Phillip Rivers number 11. Okay, he has to prove himself again because he had a down year. He lost Vincent Jackson. He's got Robert Meacham, which is no barn burner. So that's a question mark. He's got Antonio Gates, who's one injury away from being a bust again. So I have Phillip Rivers as number 11. Let me get back to my list because he's back again. Okay, hold on. What's wrong with your cell phone, dude? Hello?
It's where I am. It's where I am, dude. It's where I am.
Okay. Okay, I got the next guy, Vincent Jackson, left for big money. He finished second, seventh, and fifth among fantasy quarterbacks from 2008 to 2010. His number 9 ranking was a disappointment in a turnover-filled campaign. Everybody thought he was playing injured, but he denied it. His velocity and footwork were out of sorts for most of the year. He did finish strong, completing 67.5% of his passes for 11 touchdowns and 3 interceptions in the last 5 games. Maybe that's a sign of things to come, but that was a down year, indicative of a declining passer going on age 31. Now, like I said, Vincent Jackson left for big money in Tampa Bay. They got Robert Meacham, who has superior vertical speed, and maybe a better fit for North Turner's offense. They claim Antonio Gates is healthy. I know the Chargers plan to use more three receiver looks after signing Eddie Royal. They have Vincent Brown and Michael Floyd. The offensive line was a problem last year. It's probably going to be a problem again this year. He's number 11. They're probably going to take take him in the fourth or fifth round. But in my opinion, he may be a risk because you don't know exactly how Phillip Rivers is going to, if he's going to bounce back or if he's going to be what he was last year for the most part of last year and supposedly injury-free last year, and he still was throwing touchdowns, interceptions like he was playing for the other team. So that's why one of the reasons why I have Phillip Rivers number 11. Any thoughts before I go on? What's wrong with your phone, dude?
I'm telling you, it's where I'm at.
Okay, because you keep going in and out.
It's where I'm at, man. Sorry. But,
okay.
I have Phillip a lot higher than that. Actually, I have Andy Dalton at this position.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's just me. But I think that because they have really nothing there in San Diego, they're going to have no choice but to let Phillip throw the ball. And Antonio might have a good year. And Meacham might, you know, do well. But I can't agree with you having him this low. But, yeah, I have Andy Dalton at this position.
Wow. Oh. Wow. He's way down on my list. Ooh, Andy Dalton? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, my number 12 quarterback, you're probably going to push him up a little further than what he is. He had a slow start and tough matchups with Baltimore, Houston, and Seattle. In week four, he had a severe foot sprain, which left him immobile. He had continually lost offensive linemen to injuries and was unable to lean on coordinator Bruce Arians' preferred fast-paced no-huddle attacks. He wound up taking more sacks than any quarterback in Steelers history. They did have Antonio Brown, and I called this guy out. And you, as you well know, I kept on talking about this guy over and over last year before the season started. Antonio Brown emerged as one of the league's top young number two wideouts, and with one of Roethlisberger's favorite targets at the time. He finished as the number 13 fantasy quarterback last year. I have him at number 12, so I'm not too far off from what I think he's going to be. Todd Haley is now the offensive coordinator, and he runs a pass-first offense for the most part, even though the management of the Steelers said we wanted to get back to Steeler football and run the ball more. Now, that's a contradiction in terms. You hire a offensive coordinator who's a pass-happy offensive coordinator, and the mantra for the organization is to run the ball more. I don't know how that's going to equate, especially the fact that you got a disgruntled wide receiver. All those, to me, tell me he's a borderline quarterback one, and he's my number 12 quarterback. Your thoughts?
I have him in my top 10. I have him at number 7. Again, I don't agree with the ranking. I don't know where you're getting it from. But, I mean, you pick him and you do him there. I mean, right here I have Josh Freeman, but that's just me.
Josh Freeman, so, oh, my God.
I have Josh Freeman. With all the weapons that Josh Freeman has in Tampa and a strong running game, Josh Freeman is going to approach 4,000 yards passing and maybe mid to high 20-digit touchdowns. Mark my words on that. Tampa, they're not going to be a team to play with this year.
Understand something here. Understand. I really look at the coach. Look at the coaches. Look at the coaches. Defensive-minded coach. Coaches that come from a defensive background. Their thing, for the most part, is to run the ball first, run the ball first, run the ball first, and then pass. That's the mantra of a defensive background coach. Greg Schiano is a defensive, has a defensive background. He already said he wants to run the football. They're going to run the football. They're going to run the football. They're going to run the football and then pass when they have to. So I understand they have Vincent Jackson. I understand they have Mike Williams, Preston Parker, and I forget the other guy's name, Tyquan Underwood, for one, who showed pretty well in his appearance in the preseason, first preseason game. I understand that. But their main crux is what they want to do is run the football. Running the football means less pass attempts. Less pass attempts meaning less big numbers. So I understand what you're saying. I don't think it's going to come to fruition because they're going to be running the ball a lot, because that's the monster, that's the mindset that coach has, is to run the ball first. And he did it in college, and it worked for him in college big time. That's why Ray Rice is with the Ravens, and he got that big contract after he showed out his rookie contract. He's going to run the football. He's going to run the football. And then he's got Josh Freeman, which is a luxury for a coach that likes running the football, to have a big, strong quarterback with a stud wide receiver when they want to pass the ball. But run first, pass second.
Jerry, I love you. But you forget about a little pass that can be considered a run. It's called a screen. And I guarantee you that kid, the running back, is going to catch a lot of screens and make some things happen. And with Dallas Clark, with Vincent Jackson, and the other host of characters, Josh Freeman is going to have a big year. Maybe I'm reaching with him at this spot, but I don't agree with you having Roethlisberger this low.
Okay.
But, again, I have Freeman here.
You are really going to disagree with my next one. I'm telling you. You think you disagree with me with 12? Number 13, you probably have a heart palpitation for who I'm putting on 13. And since I'll go there, he got off to an annual flash in the pan, hot start, teasing fantasy owners into the idea that he's a quarterback one, okay? He starts fast, but his performance tanks when the weather worsens. He lacks arm strength to power through throws through wind. He racked up a 14-7 touchdown to interception ratio in September, and in October, he slipped to 10 touchdowns to 16 in the winter months. But it was later revealed that Ryan Fitzpatrick played through cracked ribs through a similar scenario played out the previous season. The Bills' defense got better. Aside from the second-round left tackle, Cordy Glenn, there was no significant offensive reinforcements. They did re-sign Stevie Johnson. Shane Gailey's pistol-spread offense and Fitzpatrick can execute when the elements are favorable. He just never played well in bad weather, okay? But the Bills play all but two of their final games in cold outdoors, so a similar second-half fall-off seems predictable. I still rate him number 13 of the quarterbacks that we're going through. Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Buffalo Bills. I don't know if I have enough time for you telling me why Ryan Fitzpatrick shouldn't be number 13, but I'll listen to you.
Okay, look. First of all, I know the truth. I want to see your smoking dope becomes Jason Blank on the same team.
You got to change your location a little bit because you're breaking up a little bit. You mumbled.
Okay. I said that you're smoking dope because Jay Cutler belongs in the top 10. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a very good quarterback if he has Fred back and healthy. Between 15 and 20. I don't know where you had the Cutler at, but you need to put him in your top. And Fitzpatrick, low end, maybe 15 through 20. Again, depending on Fred Jackson and his running game, and their running game will determine if Fitzpatrick is worth being listed in that top 15, in my opinion. But that's all I'm, because I know you're running short on time.
Okay. Well, we're probably going to be going over because I got 4 minutes left, and we're about halfway through to 32. So.
But I'm going to send a UA over there, because I know you're out the military. But we're going to get a Euro analysis on you. Because you bought into the beard. You bought into the beard. That's all I'm going to say. You know he cut it, right? Okay.
Yes, I do know he cut it. My number 14. He's out on the left coast. Quite naturally, he's playing football again. He's not with the Bengals anymore. He's learning a new system for the first time. With a new GM, Reggie McKenzie, who fired Hugh Jackson, hired Greg Knapp as the offensive coordinator. One of the run-heaviest play callers of the modern era, Knapp runs a throwback West Coast scheme. Each of the last three offenses Knapp has overseen has ranked in the bottom 10 in the league in total yards, which is a bad sign. Knapp emphasizes getting his quarterback outside the pocket, which could be a stretch for Palmer, who's lost virtually all mobility. He does have a good, decent supporting cast with Denarius Moore, who's an emerging wide receiver, in my opinion. He's got Darius Haywood-Bey. He's got Darren McFadden, and one of his backups, Michael Goodson, if I'm not mistaken.
Mike Goodson.
And Tywan Jones, who are battling for the number two spot, due to the fact that Darren McFadden does not complete a whole season. I think he's undervalued. I think even though that this offensive coordinator statistics appear good, I think Carson Palmer is going to ignite the Oakland vertical game, downfield vertical game, and do well under Dennis Allen and his coaching. I expect Carson Palmer to surprise a lot of people. I think he's undervalued. You definitely gonna get him in the 10th round probably. I understand. I got him at 14, a 10th round quarterback, usually not a starting quarterback. But I like Carson Palmer. I've liked him ever since he was at the Bengals. He has some down years. I think he's revitalized completely with a new camp. And I like Carson Palmer with the Oakland Raiders at number 14. Your thoughts before we move on?
I agree. Plaxico Burress is about to sign with the New England Patriots, by the way.
Get out of here. That's another reason. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. All right, we got about 90 seconds. We're going to go over definitely going to go over. Tune in next week. We're going to be talking about fantasy football drafting strategies. We're getting real close to our drafts that are going to be taking place in the coming weeks.
Live
and on the air, absolutely. Tune in on Thursday. Tuesday, which would be Compassion Dakini. She's got a hot show. Kim Fun is a different change of pace from our normal shows. Tune in to her on Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm pretty sure you will enjoy that show if you listen to it. Thursday, 8 p.m., Fantasy Football and Politics Crew show is on. I'm the host, along with my two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie. We'll be talking about fantasy sports and politics. And on Friday will be the No Chaser show, hosted by Mac Williams, co-hosted by myself. We'll be talking a lot of politics, probably be closer to the election. We'll be talking back and forth about Obama and Romney, and definitely talking about
Jerry,
Romney's VP.
Jerry, quickly. Spain is leading the U.S. in the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter.
And what's the score?
83-80.
Oh, okay. And from there, we're going to go to the FSP show. Vic should be back 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we'll be talking fantasy sports and politics. And then, like I said, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right back here again with the Master Plan, me as the host. Vic will drop in more than likely, and we'll be talking about draft strategy, like I said. So without that being said, let's move on to the number 15 pick and the draft for Luck sweepstakes, heavily touted as the Heisman front runner of all year, Luck was overtaken by Robert Griffin III for college football's most prominent individual award, also losing out to RG3 for first-team All-American. He finished second in Heisman, and he left Stanford as a career 67% passer rating, a passer with an 82-22 touchdown interception ratio. NFL drooled over Luck, pro-style background, and Manning-like ability to make pre-snap reads. From his arm strength standpoint, Luck profiles similarly to Matt Ryan. He's physically more imposing. He's 6'4", I think he is, 6'4", 6'5", whatever he is, about 230, 234. He's got a different offensive coordinator, which is Bruce Arians. He's got a defensive-minded coach, and let me put it this way. Andrew Luck is going to have problems because this team was 1-15 last year, 2-14, whatever it was. I can't recall how bad they were. They were just extremely bad. That's why Peyton Manning got released from the Colts, and they drafted Andrew Luck to start all over again. He's my 15th rated quarterback. Questions, answers, comments.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're wrong again.
Okay.
And I think the man that should have been the number one pick is number 15 in RG3. After watching the Buffalo Bills preseason game, I know it's only one game, it's only a couple series, but I think RG3 is going to do a lot better in the system than Luck will. And Pierre Garçon, I suggest a lot of people pick him up probably in the later rounds because he seems to be the favorite target of RG3. And Chris Cooley is the starting fullback. So you're going to have both Cooley and Davis on the field at the same time, Pierre Garçon, Hankerson, and then Santana Moss. It looks like Santana Moss is going to be the number 3 wide receiver there. But I'm telling you, look out for RG3, number 15. I got Andrew Luck at number 16, right behind him, though.
Okay.
Your boy, Mark Sanchez.
Not my boy. I haven't even got to my boy yet, but that's okay. This next guy, we talked about him earlier. He's poised. He seemed like he was poised for another step forward after making gigantic strides as a first-year starter. Instead, he took a major step back, and that's why I think Cam Newton's going to not major, but I think he's going to take a step back. With his wide ass failing to separate versus man coverage, Josh Freeman morphed into a turnover-prone check-down machine. He played too heavy, struggled to decipher defenses, and regressed with his ball placement. Even included his supposed 2010 breakout year, Freeman has 7 career games over 275 yards and 40 starts. At age 24, he's a ways off from being a fantasy starter. In addition to installing a run-first, two-back offense, the new Bucks coaches are betting that Kellen Winslow's exit will help the quarterback. 10 of Freeman's 22 interceptions last season came on targets to Winslow, and new top receiver Vincent Jackson is a coverage tilter. Vincent Jackson will take pressure off Mike Williams, who was stretched as the number one wideout. I know Josh Freeman dropped 20 pounds in the offseason. And new offensive coordinator Mike Sullivan is the old Giants quarterback coach and oversaw Eli Manning's 2011 career year. I expect him to play better this season, but the Buccaneers' ground-based offense strategy limits his fantasy appeal. He remains one of the more attractive quarterback number twos. That's the reason why I have Josh Freeman at number 16, because his ground-based offensive strategy limits him.
Are you waiting for me to say something?
Yes.
Okay. I think you're wrong. I think that ground-based strategy is going to help him have more explosive plays downfield. Granted, it's not the best system for him to be in to flourish as a prominent quarterback, but I think he's going to put up big numbers this year, and to the point where I think Tampa's either going to be number two or number one in the NFC South. That's how good of a season I think Freeman's going to have with Doug Martin running the ball and allowing one-on-ones on the outside and with the tight end situation. This is going to take Freeman getting the ball. I mean, you mentioned the ball placement. That's important, where he puts the ball. So I'm not going to eat up much time, but that's
okay.
What I think.
Okay. The Redskins traded a mammoth haul to secure Robert Griffin's rights with the number two pick before committing a combined $60 million to lure wideouts Pierre Garçon and Josh Morgan and retain receiving tight end Fred Davis. Volume won't be an immediate issue as Skins offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan's last four offenses have all ranked in the top seven in the NFL in pass attempts. I didn't know that. The Redskins will use frequent boot action and sprint outs to maximize Griffin's running ability while minimizing the impact of a shaky offensive line. Griffin projects as a fantasy factor right away. I got him number 17. What's your opinion?
As I said, I had him at number 15.
Okay, he's not that far off.
Yeah, he can surprise, but again, I noticed some things. If I noticed some things about him, I'm quite sure NFL defensive coordinators noticed it too. But he has the potential to be what Michael Vick was in his first year or two, except throw the ball more. He stood in there against that Bills rush and threw pretty well, and he didn't have to run, even though the Bills didn't blitz him all the time. You know what I mean? But I think a weakness is going to be the run game, because I know Evan Royster started this week, but we don't know who's going to start in the backfield for them. Tim Hightower
right.
is the optimal one, but depending on that will determine how high Robert finishes fantasy-wise. Right now I have him at 15, not 17.
Okay. The next guy is the Ravens simply lack the personnel and playing acumen to execute Cameron's attempt at passing off and scrapped it for run-first strategy after an embarrassing Week 10 loss to Seattle. When the quarterback attempted 30 or fewer passes, Baltimore wound up going 7-0 while Flacco posted 11-2 touchdown to interception ratio. When he tried 30 or more, Flacco had a 13-11 mark, and the Ravens went 6-5. Cam Cameron calls plays like it's still the 1960s. He refuses to use three receiver sets beyond three third down situations, and the Ravens lack a wide receiver capable of tilting coverage or consistently separating from defenders. Flacco is brimming with talent, but his skills are going to waste in an archaic offense. I'm not going to project Flacco until the Ravens get rid of Cameron and find a receiver capable of giving defenses serious problems. They have Torrey Smith to try to stretch the field. Anquan Boldin is a middle of the field type of wide receiver, and they have Jacoby Jones, who struggles to catch passes, to catch the ball. Joe Flacco He may have a ton of talent, but I don't think it's being used the way it should be used. And I think it's stymieing his progress with Cam Cameron. I don't know why they're still keeping him, but that's why he's 18 on my list.
I have him at 19 because I have Fitzpatrick at 18. So,
okay.
That's all I got for that one.
All right. He was traded by March. Excuse me, he was healthy by March. The Bears traded for Brandon Marshall and hired old Broncos quarterback coach Jeremy Bates, who used to be, he used to be the old Broncos quarterback coach, for the same role in Chicago. On the new offensive coordinator, Mike Tice, the Bears will attempt to rekindle Cutler's early career success with Denver implementing the same system. They also traded up for Alshon Jeffrey, which I think he may be a slight surprise in the second round. Tice is counting on internal improvement up front with all five offensive linemen starters returning in addition to right tackle Gabe Kirimi. Quite naturally, he's the offensive coordinator and he was the line coach. So he's a good line coach and offensive coordinator. Thank God he's not the head coach. He's not a too good head coach. I'm talking about Mike Tice. I like Jay Cutler this year. I expect Jay Cutler to be a little to be better this year. I like Cutler as a high-end fantasy backup, though. I have him at 19.
All right, real quick, we have Bradford at 19. I think he's not going to be as bad as he was last year because he was a victim of a lot of drops. I think that'll get fixed. And in a surprise, I have Mr. Locker out of Tennessee at my number 20.
Okay.
So.
He broke his foot. I'm going on. He broke his foot last November, and it'll be just under 10 months removed when the season starts. He had surgery on November 30th. All the off-season reports suggest my quarterback, man. Recovery has been smooth and even ahead of schedule. After Arian Foster got a 5-year, $43.5 million extension, top receiver Andre Johnson underwent knee surgery. That bothers me a lot. Andre, you're 31 years old, going on 32. Please stay healthy. Dynamic number two running back Ben Tate is signed through 2013. Schaub enters the contract year at 31. He's a legit franchise quarterback with some history of fantasy success, but his offense has evolved around from a unit that translates to elite passing production, meaning he doesn't he'll pass the ball, but this is a run first offense. I like Matt Schaub a lot in number 20. I think he's a good pickup at if you can pick him up in the later rounds. I'm more than likely he will be there because for some reason, in my opinion, Matt Schaub is always considered as an afterthought when they're picking quarterbacks. Up until last year, two years before that, he was healthy and he produced pretty decent fantasy numbers. So, in my opinion, I think this guy, he's playing it for a contract. I think he's going to be playing his ass off this year. I like him a lot. I have him at 20 because I think that's probably where people consider him. Because, like I said, they consider him as an afterthought at picking up for a quarterback. Your thoughts?
Well, of course, I think he's a top 10 quarterback with the weapons he has. I understand the issues that surround him, but prior to his injury, he was a top 10, maybe top 7 quarterback in fantasy and in regular football. So, again, I have Locker here because I think Locker's going to beat out Hasselbeck in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to talk about your old team at 21, the Sanchez.
Okay.
There's a lot of other teams out there.
Okay. At 21, the Titans drafted Locker with the 8th overall pick, but sat him on a bench to correct technique-related accuracy flaws. In his small playing time sample size, however, Locker was awfully impressive, including the preseason, Locker completed 66 of 115 throws. That's a little over 57% for 858 yards. He also scrambled 16 times for 120 yards, rushing for two more touchdowns. There's a buzz around there's a serious quarterback competition between Matt Hasselbeck and Jake Locker. It may come down to the last game, maybe even to the last play. Who the heck knows what's going to happen here? I think these guys are very close in ability. I think this guy is a sleeper if he gets the starting job. I like Matt Locker a lot because he can run the ball, he can pass the ball, and it'll benefit the offense more if you have a mobile quarterback in Tennessee. I have him at 21. Talk to me.
All right. Like I said, I had him a little higher than that. But I'm going to throw something in here that you're probably gonna be like, what in the hell?
Mm-hmm.
I have the Seattle Seahawks quarterback, whoever it is, at number, 21, 22. The reason why I say that is because I just saw who they had at receiver. Sidney Rice, Terrell Owens, Braylon Edwards, Marshawn Lynch is going to be running the ball. They've got a decent set of tight ends. And Russell, the kid Russell out of Wisconsin, he looks like he might even steal that job. With those type of weapons in that stadium, and their defense isn't that bad, I think that the Seattle Seahawks quarterback, whoever they put in there, is going to do a decent job. That's why I have them at my number 21-22 position.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Prematurely crowned after Cincinnati started 6-2 against football's softest first half slate, Andy Dalton crashed back down to earth from week 10 on. In his final nine games, including the playoffs, Dalton completed 169 of 301 passes, which is a little over 56%, for a little over 1,900 yards, with eight touchdowns and 12 turnovers. He's impressed with moxie and poise in the pocket for a rookie starter, but arm strength limitations held him back when passing windows shrunk against better defenses. Jay Gruden effectively masked Dalton's slows with an off-used power run game last season, but the ground attack may take a step in the wrong direction with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis in the lead role. A.J. Green returns as Cincinnati's lone offensive player as rookie Mohamed Sanu attempts to hold off Armon Bins as number two. I like Andy Dalton at number 22. Your thoughts before we move on?
Well, you know I have Andy Dalton a lot higher than that.
Mainly
because of what I see happening with this team. I don't think they're going to try to dominate downfield because teams can see that A.J. Green can blow the lid off. It's going to come down to Sanu being a very good second number two receiver and maybe the running game stepping in there. But I don't have Andy here. I have... my goodness, Alex Smith.
Okay. All right, we're at number 23, a sophomore slump. This is another rookie, the second year, sophomore slump. That's what I'm talking about with Cam Newton. I think he's not a slump, but I think he's going to take a step back. And then some. Bradford displayed pinpoint accuracy and adequate velocity as an NFL Rookie of the Year in 2010. Sounds familiar, Mr. Gardner? But he fell to pieces as a second-year player. An abysmal line allowed 18 sacks of Bradford in the first four games, and a week six high left ankle sprain would plague him the rest of the way. The Rams cleaned house, hiring smash mouth coach Jeff Fisher and ex-Jet offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer to run the offense. They took the 33rd pick for Brian Quick, the 96th pick with Chris Givens, for receivers, and put all their quarterback eggs in Bradford's basket. The Rams will be a run-first team, dramatically scaling back what they asked of Bradford. Aside from center Scott Wells, they didn't get much O-line help. So it'd be a run-first offense, which is a Schottenheimer and Fisher mantra. Sam Bradford is 23. Talk to me.
I have Matt Castle at this spot because depending on the Dwayne Bowe situation and if Jonathan Baldwin can step up and do what he needs to do, I think the Castle should have a good year. Jamal Charles and Peyton Hillis are the linchpins to that, though. They look really good in their preseason game, both of them. Peyton Hillis, 4 rushes, 41 yards. Jamal Charles, 3 rushes, I think 17 yards, and then he caught a screen for another 20.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they use it right, Matt Castle will have a pretty decent year, and I have him at that spot.
Okay. Number 24. Coach Leslie Frazier has an affinity for backup Joe Webb, but Ponder should have a fairly long leash to begin the year. New left tackle Matt Khalil will be a big help in protection, and second-year tight end Kyle Rudolph, watch out for that guy, is primed for a bigger role. Ponder's supporting cast remains underwhelming, however, aside from Rudolph and Percy Harvin. The Vikings, like a lot of teams with a defensive-minded coach, are a run-first team. Christian Ponder, number 24.
Disagree.
Hello?
Because right now there isn't a set receiver out there that scares me. And with Adrian Peterson coming off of an injury and he's trying to get their first game of the season, I think Ponder might be number 24. Whereas I have, I just had the kid's name in my bag on head. Oh my gosh. I just had it in my head, dude. There was an AFC quarterback. I just had it in my head. I can't even think about it right now.
Okay.
But it wasn't Ponder. It was someone else. I think Ponder.
Blaine Gabbert?
No, Webb. Whedon.
Brandon Joe Webb? Whedon. Brandon Whedon?
Brandon Whedon. And then I have your boy after Brandon Whedon. That's who it is.
All right. The 49ers did upgrade Alex Smith's weaponry significantly using signing Randy Moss and Mario Manningham in free agency, drafting A.J. Jenkins, and receiving back LaMichael James with their top two picks. The 49ers are collecting playmakers because they want more explosive chunk yardage plays on offense. Smith should have respectable job security, but there are higher upside quarterbacks. I have Alex Smith number 25.
I already mentioned I have him a little higher than that because of the weapons he has, not because of his talent, but because of his weapons. At this juncture, I'm going to put either Matt Moore or Ryan Tannehill at this spot because right now David Garrard is out of it, and Moore looked okay and Tannehill looked decent, so I have them Miami's quarterback at this spot right here.
Okay. After visiting,
I'm sorry, I got to tell you, 2 minutes left in the NBA. I mean, in the Olympics, USA 99, Spain 93.
Okay. After visiting Seahawks NFL camp, Bucky Brooks came NFL.com's Bucky Brooks came to the conclusion that quarterback job is Matt Flynn's to lose. Handling the first team reps this week, Flint has looked completely comfortable while displaying superb accuracy and ball placement as well above average mobility. Brooks further noted that Flint repeatedly connected on deep throws after eluding pressure, which is a bit of a pleasant surprise. Barring a faceplant, Flint should be the week one starter. And let me interject this. I watched him yesterday playing Tennessee, and when he was in there, barring his ill-fated interception, he looked like he played well. Had a command for the offense, and I already said, he was accurate with his passes. I see a lot of upside with this guy. Watch out. Probably mid-season for Matt Flynn emerging, moving up the ranks of the quarterbacks in fantasy football. He's rated number 26 right now.
I have Skelton at 26.
Ooh, ooh. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, this guy, in my opinion, I think he's going to be a surprise this year. The jury's really out on this guy. Understandably unsatisfied with Castle owner. Clark Hunt publicly pulled for a run at Peyton Manning. The Chiefs also showed significant pre-draft interest in Ryan Tannehill. Neither was acquired, so Castle returns with solid job security ahead of Brady Quinn and Rick Stanzi. The Chiefs signed Peyton Hillis, right tackle, Eric Winston, and run-blocking tight end Kevin Booth. They want to run the ball down opponents' throats in order to mask Castle's deficiencies. Now, I know that the Chiefs are the top running offense last year, and they're probably going to be trying to do the same thing. We've seen Castle hold his own and run heavy and quarterback-friendly offenses, but he's no better than a system player. I like this guy. Even though I said all that, I still like this guy. Um, 27, I know, is way down there, but there's no, in my opinion, there's no place to go but up for this guy. He had a down year, but his weapons were limited last year, and a lot of things didn't fall right for the Chiefs until late, and he was dealing with injury. I like Matt Castle this year, even though I got him ranked 27. Talk to me.
I already have him listed, as you know, so I got Blaine Gabbert at this spot.
Oh, God. My next guy.
Let me explain that. I believe Blaine Gabbert's going to have a decent, he's going to be better than last year. As you said, you can't go nowhere but up. And I think he's going to have a better year this year. So.
All right. Shermer, Pat Shermer historically has pass first leans, which may give Brandon Whedon a shot at late season quarterback 2 value. He's just not playing with enough receiving talent to be worth a fantasy pick. 28, Brandon Whedon.
I already have him higher.
Right.
I can't remember the last three teams that I didn't talk about, so keep it moving.
Okay. The Cards are banking on Kevin Culp's full offseason in the offense to spark him in year two. He's a mediocre talent with a short lease, though, and is likely to be benched at some point. That's why I have him ranked number 29, Kevin Cobb for Arizona. I know you got Skelton instead of Kevin Cobb, right?
Yeah, because Cobb has bruised ribs, and he's not going to start this season.
Okay. Number 30, Mark Sanchez can tease with big games against bad defenses, but he has weak job security and a passing unfriendly offense. Let others fool themselves into believing he's worth a fantasy pick. Number 30, Mark Sanchez.
Tebow. Oh.
Yeah, I hear you.
Go ahead, give me
number 31, Matt Moore has proven himself as an effective enough game manager to settle in as a long-term NFL backup, but he lacks weapons and will be replaced by Tannehill sooner rather than later. So regardless of who's going to be in here, Matt Moore or Ryan Tannehill, they're still going to be my next to last ranked fantasy quarterback.
I have him a little higher, as you know, but I can concur. They'll be in the low end of it. Go ahead.
This guy is probably the worst. He's probably one of the bigger busts outside of Ryan Leaf. The Jaguars, you know I'm going to talk about. The Jaguars insist Blaine Gabbert is locked in as a starter, but we wouldn't be least bit surprised to see Chad Henne outplay him in the preseason, which he hasn't done it yet, I don't think. Henne is a safe bet to make starts this year. I can believe that because I don't think Blaine Gabbert is up to the task, and he's got to prove it to Mill because he sure didn't prove it last year. Talk to me.
As you know, I've already listed all the QBs I feel. I really don't care about the last two. I mean, Blaine Gabbert, I think he has to improve. Even if he's just throwing it to Blackman, I mean, he's got to improve. He can't get worse than he did last year. You know, but without MJD there might be some issues.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see, but he has to improve.
I think I got to get out of here because I think it's over half an hour time, and I think I'm going to get cut off soon. So tune in next week.
It's an hour.
Excuse me?
It's an hour.
It's an hour? Okay. So I'm not going to rush myself then. All right. Well, you got any other things to say on the way out before I walk away from here and finish watching the end of this game? Oh, the game's over? 18 seconds.
Yeah.
It looks like they're going to win this game. Okay. And for those who are listening to the show and watching or not watching the game, the Olympic game, I don't see a reason why you shouldn't be. 105 to 98 with 18 1.5 seconds left. The U.S. is winning against Spain. Looks like the U.S. is going to get the U.S. men's going to get the gold.
Yeah.
With that being said,
a lot closer game than it should have been.
Yep. I don't know what happened. I wasn't able to see the whole game because I should have taped it, but I didn't even do that. So anyway, Gardner.
I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to add another show real soon, and it deals with religion, prosperity, as well as economics. It's a different show, but it's more on the line of Kim's show, but it might have a little conservative twist to it. Yes, yes, we're not Fox, but we're getting that way, it seems. We're equal opportunity people here, but working on something. I might have an interview with a wrestler, a former wrestler by the name of Kevin Sullivan, the Taskmaster. If you wrestling fans out there, old school wrestling fans out there, I'm working on something with that right now, and a new show coming, maybe two new shows. One's going to be on relationships. I will not be hosting it, but we shall see. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a wonderful, wonderful network of families and friends, and hopefully we'll be paid in the shade one day. I hope so. And since no one replied to the Jerry Reed Challenge, you know what, one of Jerry's kids?
I'm disappointed.
I am, too. But it is what it is. You're more than welcome to join one of our pay leagues and get your butt beat and your money taken that way, then. For more information, hit up JT Money. Send them an email. Tell them you want in. That's all I got, JT.
Okay. I just wanted to let you know that we had a pretty good turnout of listeners yesterday.
I know, I saw.
Yeah, and till next week, I know you'll be heading back near the end. You'll probably be home by this time next week.
Yeah, the host. I'm going to have to call in because I'm getting in early in the morning.
I'm going to have to host, you said?
Yeah, because I'm probably not going to be able to wake up in time.
Oh, boy. You're going to sleep in again, huh?
Dude, it's a 3-hour difference, man.
No problem. I'm just don't sweat it. I can handle it. No problem. Not a problem.
I noticed the ratings have gone up. I will admit that.
Not a problem. With that being said, I'm gonna close it like I started it with a Billy Stewart old school song. I don't know if you heard this before. But Billy Stewart, you ever heard of Billy Stewart?
I believe I have. I played some music, but let's hear what it sounds like.
When I Does that sound familiar, Mr. Gardner? Anyway, this is Billy Stewart, old school, since I'm an old school guy, like I said, this is called Summertime. It's apropos for the time of for the season, so I figured I'd play it. With that being said, this is Jerry and with Vic. Talk to you next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Enjoy. One of these, one of these, one of these.
Fall up from your eye. Oh!